You guys have got full bellies?
Amen.
It's a late afternoon. You've been blessed. Have you been blessed?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome last night. Appreciate President Eugene.
Yes.
And also Bishop.
Yes.
Now, first off, before I begin, I want to say thank you to our host, to Brother Dave and Peggy. Thank you. It's my first time down here, and I am just ecstatic, enjoying every second. Hospitality is so warm, and we greatly appreciate it. And we thank you so much for accommodating us so well. Well, challenge number two. Eugene stole half my sermon. The bishop took the other half. But I think I can put a little twist on it and change it a little bit. I won't be as enthusiastic as Brother Bishop, but I thought I wore my gun and shirt. And so I think I've bridged the two so far. So I'm at 50-50 here. Well, my shirt was called Anointed Hands Artistic from Tecumati. Yeah. So, so he needs all the anointing he can get. But after last night, we know that we have been unleashed. Amen?
Yes.
And we are just looking forward to even again when Brother Alain comes. Now, I found out that I don't think I'm the only Canadian here, right?
Right.
So I'm waiting for my Canadian brother.
Amen.
You know, I love him. And, you know, I could just sit. It's just the sound of, the tone of his voice and his what we call Quebecois, his accent, his French-Canadian accent. I could just listen to it. Just, you know, it's just awesome. But anyway, we know that he's going to share an awesome message with us tonight. I bring greetings from GCMF Canada.
Amen.
Everybody online, if there's folks online. So good just to be able to share together here. I endeavor to do a PowerPoint, and I'm so used to at home, they kind of interject that in the stream. So forgive me, guys, on phones. I know that's not so friendly, but I think the folks will get the idea. In Canada, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
So anyone want to come on up to the Frozen Chosen? Actually, we're doing it in July. Beautiful in July.
Yeah.
You can come up and visit us. And someone put here, what we're celebrating is 14,610 days.
Wow.
July 20th of 83. So we're celebrating our 40th. And probably know it's a generation.
Yes, it is.
And I heard something about talking and speaking to the generation. And we are supposed to say to the other generation the things that the Lord has done.
Yeah.
So that they will remember. That's amen?
Yeah.
And so we're going to celebrate our 40th. The next thing we're also looking forward to, and that's for all of you. GCMF Canada is going to finally host, one more time again, the International Gathering like we did in 2015.
Yes.
And of course we've had consecutive ones after that until 19. And it's been what? On hold, but no longer.
That's right.
Wow.
So June 24th. You got it there. Mark your calendars. June 18th to the 21st, we are going to have the International Gathering in Toronto.
Yes.
At the same center, the Catch the Fire Church.
Yes.
And all that.
Yeah.
The Toronto Airport, as it once was known, right there where the airport is, right there where all the hotels are, and we are going to have a more tremendous unleashing.
Amen. Amen.
Because God is preparing us in 23. It's 24 and a half for us. Amen? And so, getting to know, you guys are the first ones, other than the Canadian folks got a newsletter, you are the first ones I've announced it to. So save the date.
Amen.
You got more than a year. So plan, and we're going to give it all to you. All the international countries are going to know about it so that they can see what is happening and be able to get prepared. I've been working with a brother in Nepal. We just yesterday, with all the leaders, the GCMF international leaders, we got to be able to talk to all the national leaders out there that we're connected with. And one that we've been got the privilege to speak to is a gentleman by the name of Amos Tiwari, and he is formulating a GCMF in Nepal.
Wow.
And so we're excited about that. And so, you know, I just want to give you a little bit of the flavor of what we've been able to do. GCM of Canada has been the first extension, the bridge there, working along with them so we can see them come into the international network. And so maybe this will just bless you as you watch. That is Brother Amos there doing that baptism. Does a lot is goes across Nepal and distributes the Nepalese Bible to some people that have been waiting for years to receive a Bible in their hands. And, I was there in 2016, and that footage is right there across the river, carrying the Bibles by hand up the mountain. Mountain roads to be unpassable. This is recently during the last couple of years helping individuals in hospitalization when they were going through COVID. As you can imagine there, they don't have medical care that we have here. You don't have the funds, you don't receive help. This is a Christian family that lost their home in persecution. The home was burnt down, so we decided to build a better one for a testimony to Lord Jesus Christ. Young family there. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was, President Eugene was speaking yesterday. He came across, he was talking about, you know, some of the things where we end up leashing God or the Holy Spirit is in our minds. Mm-hmm. Bishop talked a lot about attitude.
Yes.
So, A.W. Tozer, I quote him, he says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Mm. Think about it for a little while. What else would be the most important thing but God? But how often do we negate what really does go into our minds and our thoughts? You know, and most problems are developed because we really do not understand who God is. And I think Bishop really drove home today who God is. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
And one thing I wanted to reiterate also is about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Got a little phrase. It's out of this world. Really it is, because Jesus declared his kingdom is not of this world.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
And I think we need to remember that where we stand and who is our government. We stand in the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ is our King, and the Bible declares that the government is upon his shoulder.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm not American. This Canuck might get in trouble today. But I think, you know, President, when he says, it's not going to be, from a Canadian here repeating, the Republicans or the Democrats that are going to save you.
That's right.
That's right.
And I was kind of like, yes, I'm not American, but yes, I get it. Because there's no government on the face of the earth.
That's right.
That can resolve the problems of the world.
Amen.
And we know that's the truth. But the government is upon his shoulder. Whose kingdom do you belong? We belong to a kingdom of our God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, John says that the whole earth is under the influence of the evil one. We know that's true. What happens, Jesus says, we're not a part of this world. Even though we live in it, we're not to be a part of it. But can I just dare say that as we're living in this world, sometimes we do allow ourselves to have the world to infiltrate into us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what our guest previous to us, Brother Eugene and Bishop, was challenging our hearts to understand that we want to continue to be released and that the Holy Spirit be released through us. And we have to acknowledge that there can be us that is the roadblock.
Yes.
Now, I get it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is released, and he wants to flow through us. Bishop was saying there's, you can what? You can hinder.
Yeah.
What God wants to do. I want to tell you, it's true. God needs to sometimes, now this is going to be sounding the opposite of what you've been hearing, but I'm saying, because before, what happened to me when I heard the title Unleashed, I could be, what came to mind for my employers, well, what do they mean, unleashed? Are people feeling tied down? And I felt like in my heart, yes, there's people that feel they're being held back.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's not right. But then, over a little journey, we're going to find out through what I've been going through lately. Do you know? I understand what the previous people said, but sometimes God will put us on a leash. Ooh. Now, don't throw stones at me, please. I haven't got a big enough shield. But you'll understand. It works the same. Because in Psalms 23, verse 5, it says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, if you've been around, if you've been along, I come from where I had farmers in my family, and my grandfather was a sheep farmer. And, you know, one thing I learned is he would go around and he would put an ointment on the sheep. Not so much maybe the way they do it in Palestine and Israel in those days, but very similar in order to protect the flies and the insects of getting inside their ears and inside their nostrils. It was a form like a paste type anointment to prevent so that they wouldn't get certain diseases or parasites. Mm-hmm. And there, I won't mention what type of one. This is not nice, but it does to the animal. But you anoint my head with oil. So I saw this picture, and it depicts, you know, the person pulling that mixture of wax and oil and some special ingredients. Why the head? Why the head? Because what we're really doing about is what is between the ears.
Right, yeah.
You know something? I just had to wear glasses lately. Oh boy. Y'all look better now. Like, what is that touch up on, you know, on Photoshop? Y'all look, it's a little bit nice and no more wrinkles. Okay. But sometimes what we need to really do, I'm going to bring my shades, you know, say sometimes, you know, what we do is we wear sunglasses as Christians because, you know, the lights is a little bit too bright. Sometimes we really don't want the truth.
Mm.
And what God's really saying to us, he really wants us to see through his perspective. Often we want him to see through our own perspective, don't we?
Oh,
that's better. Right? See more clearly.
Yeah.
So I'd say, help God for me to see through your perspective.
Yes.
Because sometimes there's so much that's infiltrated into our minds that's not of the Lord. It gets us into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
We can spend forever talking about some of the problems. But what I want to really iterate today is that 99.9% of spiritual warfare is what's up between
that's
here.
Right.
Every time I go to preach lately over the last year, especially my congregation, they must get tired of me saying this, but I say, I should have brought it. I have a frame. And I say, what frame of mind are you in today?
I like it.
I should have brought my frame. Don't know if Air Canada will like that. It's so true. We think more on the external, but Jesus concentrated really what is on the inside. You can read the book of Matthew. How many know Matthew was talking to the Jewish people, and he was really writing about the concerns of the heart. You know, he would talk about the law, and Jesus, he would write that Jesus was always saying, you know, this is what the law says, but I tell you, whatever a person thinks in their heart, always about the heart. It's not about what's the external, it's about what's happening on the internal.
Yes.
And I'm here to say, until we begin to acknowledge that sometimes maybe we have allowed the world to affect us a little bit more than what we thought. Mm-hmm. Well, let's put it this way. I think the church would look a whole lot different if we really began to be what Paul, when he commissioned the, you know, I call him Pastor Tim. And he said to Tim that, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be shamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Say the truth.
The truth.
Now, a lot of people say, well, that's kind of debatable. Society says that's debatable. It's been an ageless question, hasn't it? Even as Jesus stood before Pilate. Come on, Lord, you can go to that story. And Pilate says, what is truth? Even back then. Of course, Jesus answered him, didn't he? But we're to know the truth. And say with me, and the truth shall
set you free.
Does that sound unleashed?
Yes.
You know, I laugh sometimes in our congregation. How many feel like discipling? Who, me? What? And yet that's the greatest commission for us all, the word of disciple. And Paul, as he was even saying to Pastor Tim, he would say, you know, follow me, that's what he said, as I follow Christ.
Right.
In other words, Paul was saying, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to, and actually the word follow in the closest Greek is mimic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I looked at it, if you go to the Greek, it's where they, I don't know, but the scientists actually used the, you know, for the Greek language about, you know, the old saying, like monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
We're supposed to actually, do as he does. And so Jesus said, in the same manner as the Father sent me, so send I you.
Yes.
That blows me away. Think about it for a moment. The same manner the Father has sent the Son.
Yeah.
The Son sends us.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Great Commission is to go into all the world and what?
Preach
to us. Make disciples. Who me? Make a disciple? You know, you can only make a disciple when you become a disciple.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
And what a lot of people do is they don't want to deal with what's happening in their hearts and their minds. We don't realize how it has affected us, how we have been tied down, and where we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be released. Mm. Oh, who, us? Charismatic believers? Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, the irony of it all about knowing the Word of God is sometimes we will take a certain scripture verse and we use it way out of context, and before you know, we make it into some rule of some nature, and... Well, let's put it this way. I've gone to many cultures and many places. Culture's not a problem for me. I love culture. You can be around me. I love speaking different languages. I wish there was Swahili people here. I wish there was more French people here. I just would do it. I don't speak Twi except for NSA. But I love embracing those things. Those differences aren't an issue. But when someone judges you in a religious manner, man, does that ever break the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, there was a culture that was growing for a little while. It's kind of phased up, but there was a culture for a little while that they wanted to break away from tradition. And tradition was being religious. And being religious was just a no-no. So they were like the blue jean t-shirt crew. And everyone who went to church wore blue jeans and t-shirt. My goodness. I feel sorry for the person who might have walked in wearing a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what they would do is they would judge that person for what they wear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but they're not being religious, are they? No, they're breaking away from religion. Really? When I usually go, I try to fit in. Try. Sometimes, on purpose, you know, I know some groups. If it's because it's being religious. That's right, this quiet, humble Canuck will dress differently on purpose.
Yes.
Just to stir the pot. As far as I'm concerned, we need to be challenged in our minds.
Yeah.
And we need to really know the Word of God in our hearts to discern correctly.
That's right.
Yes.
How many know there's an awesome revival happening right now?
Yes.
We've been praying for revival.
Yeah.
That's right.
The last few days down here, us Canucks are kind of like, oh, we're jealous. Because there's a move happening down in the universities here. And we've had a move up in the Toronto area 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Revival's good. It's the Spirit coming. No one's there showing up to direct. It's just in prayer. How many mentioned prayer? Amen?
Amen.
And prayer's happening. And the Spirit is moving.
Yes.
But how many know that eventually those young people, they're going to need to be discipled?
That's right.
Come on. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to be discipled because, and I'm not trying to cap here, I'm saying to allow the flow of the Holy Spirit to continue, to move. How many know that when you have the rhema, which is the word coming to us, there's also the logos word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I once heard an idea that how you maintain the flow of the rhema is you have the banks of the logos.
That's right.
You see, without the banks, there would be a tremendous flow of the water. If you didn't have any banks, then the water would just spread out. You ever heard the thing about the revivals that happened in the early days with David Livingstone and Africa, and he declared, the revival there is like a mile wide, but only an inch deep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And eventually, it doesn't take very much for it to dry out.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the banks, it contains the flow. There's power.
Yeah. Yes.
And we need to have that. I'm not talking about doctrine that stifles the flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Word of God that continues the revival, that continues the revival, that there's more releasing and more releasing and more releasing given out. How many have seen revivals in like 2 or 3 years? I think you know what I mean. But God wants us to know the Word in such a way that we can actually one day, remember we said that we belong to a kingdom?
Yes.
It's not of this world, and authority is upon His shoulders. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 says, do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? Now, I know there's a lot of people, there's a lot of judgments going on lately, but it's not according to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's according to their own fears,
mm-hmm.
attitudes,
yep.
apprehensions, traditions, things that do hold back. But also, where's my shield? Our flesh, our own selfish ambitions,
yep.
our own emotions. How many know that your emotions can deceive you?
Yes.
Indeed.
You know, truth will act contrary to what you feel.
That's right. That's right.
Fear will often align up to your emotions.
That's right.
Often I fear, and I go, I go, that's probably the truth. It's challenging my heart. We're to be His disciples. Can you imagine one day we are to judge the world?
Wow.
That's to seal a little bit on that, eh? The importance. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. I like to read this. It's from the Passion Translation. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Nothing. In other words, in some parts of Scripture, the other translation says that you will mature, having full of His character. I hope you realize that's not about you. It's about Him.
Amen.
We have to be just like John the Baptist when he saw Jesus. He said, less of me
and
more of Him. May He increase and may I decrease.
Yes.
How many know that the more that we lose our life in Him, the more we gain?
Yes.
All right. So what we're talking about is what Bishop said, those wrong attitudes. What we're talking about is where somewhat President Eugene was saying that sometimes we want to harness the Holy Spirit. But what it is, it's sometimes what we are limiting God ourselves.
Yes, we are.
And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, man, He's real. And we know it's the Holy Spirit's power. But it's true. What you and I do as His disciples, we're the ones that show the world who Jesus Christ
is.
Yes. That's right.
They need to hear from the church.
Yes.
They need to hear from what I call the true church, amen?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about today. There's a lot of mixed up stuff in the church. And sometimes the world points the finger, and sometimes they're not necessarily wrong.
That's right.
Because sometimes the church hasn't acted any better than the world.
That's right.
I need a bigger shield. I'm from Canada, and I'm going back, so I'm sorry. If I just kind of breathe all loud and I'm not speaking your language, that's too bad. As Brother Richard Dunn says, it's French, you know, the parlez-vous de français, you know? The next one is, I really, it's the same scripture verse, only different, but I saw this on, and I looked at it, and I saw that little guy standing there. Looking at that stairwell. We don't know where it ends. But let's just consider it goes quite far. That poor lonely guy, he's thinking, I got to climb these stairs. You know, sometimes that's how we feel. Christians. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Oh, you just limited God.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I haven't fully arrived yet, God. You just limited Him. I don't know the word of God like Ebenezer. You just limit Him. How many really want to be like the psalmist David and say, search me, O God?
Yeah. Yes.
How many know He comes to equip us?
Yes.
There's a saying, He who He calls, He also equips.
That's right.
And that's what He can do for us. Yeah, sometimes it's like an uphill climb. Spiritually, I'm talking about. But God will enable us and we can do it.
Yes.
Now, that scripture verse in James, just let me just confirm a little bit. It's not always talking about sin. Mm-hmm. It's just talking about the trials of life that comes upon us. You don't ask for them. Life happens. Things do happen, but God uses them all to show us in His grace and His mercy the power of what He can do through us.
Yes.
But there are some times when I talk about the spiritual warfare part, and we do limit God ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I want to just more concentrate on that. That if we can focus on the aspect that joy is not in the pain, but what the pain produces. I appreciate that's from Tony Trice, thank you, from Monday Mojo. Joy is not in the pain, but in what the pain produces. Now that does go with that scripture verse in James, but I also want to bring in home to what we're talking about working on the inside. It is sometimes hard to face the reality of the issues that we have. How many know as ministers of the gospel, we love to put our good gifts forward.
Yeah.
We celebrate our gifts. And that's true, and we should, because our gifts come without repentance. It's not of us anyways. It's from God. But how many know that God is looking for the church where the servants of the Lord are allowing their hearts to come up into the alignment of His Word? Because in the end, if you don't deal with the issues that are really truly hidden in our hearts, how many know we will not allow the Holy Spirit to flow as we've been talking about?
That's right.
So I might not be bringing the joyous message tonight or today, this afternoon, but what I'm saying, it's relevant for us to really search our hearts, because as we do that, the things we've been hearing about last night and this morning will come to fruition in our lives. I want to challenge us as Christian believers. Will we have the guts to really look internally and say, God, come, do your work in me.
Amen.
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 You know, whoever said Christianity is a crutch, they don't understand.
Amen.
Christianity is a lot of hard work.
Yes, it is.
Amen. It means being real.
Yes.
Right.
It means coming and allowing God to work in our hearts in a very tough way. I mean, on Hebrews 12:7 it says, fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for He is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who He has ever heard, who has ever heard of a child who never was corrected or never had been corrected? He treats us as His children.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And when He's bringing correction in our lives, He is loving us, saying, God loves me.
Yes,
God loves me. Until God suddenly says it's time to deal with that issue, Ted, and He starts to push on the area where it's a little bit sore. And a little ouch. But how many know that's God's love?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
It's God's love, because He wants to deal with the area so that we're going to allow the Holy Spirit not to be limited in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Also, Hebrews 12:11 says, now all discipline seems to be painful at the time, yet later it will produce a transformation of character. I think Bishop was really talking about and showing us today, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. Amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing it? Discipline. Say with me, discipline.
Discipline.
It will be painful at the beginning, but in the end it produces righteousness.
Yes.
Come on, everybody, say, now this is the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
There's an old saying, the Jews have a saying, whoever rejoices in afflictions that come upon him brings salvation to the world.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You got to think about that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But in Jewish homes and tradition, they're often told, you know, if you suffer for the right thing, eventually good comes out of it.
Yes. That's
true.
And trust me, there are people who really know understand suffering.
Yes,
don't
they? For sure. Yes.
Many times over many generations. Count it all joy. Say with me, count it all joy when they persecute you. But also consider it joy when the Lord comes to discipline you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what we really truly need?
Yes.
We need more gratitude.
Amen. Yes.
I think I kind of heard that last night. A little bit today. We need to have more gratitude. I mean, know that, hey, who likes being around a grouchy person?
That's right.
Oh, man, the law of attraction is really great, you know, but we want to be around those who complain all the time and murmur and negative. Oh, come on. Maybe you don't complain. You don't like to be around complainers. Or maybe we do on the sidelines just a little bit. That's when it comes to our politics. Oops. Sorry. Us Canadians, we can talk about politics a little bit more politely. But anyway, okay. Oh. Heart of gratitude. Oh, but maybe what's really up here is always more negative than being a positive attitude, or not positive, but having a heart of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, it was once told, and I was reading, that they say 90% of our thoughts are negative. And I thought, ah, what? And then my daughter's going to the university. She said, I'm taking a psychology class, Dad. And we're talking about how it's proven that most of our thoughts are negative all the time, and it produces a certain chemical imbalance, so that we like. And the more you think negative, the more you like. I thought, okay, Ted, try to be aware of your thoughts. So I was going through the day. Oh, yeah, don't think that. That's negative. 2 minutes later, oh, man, what did I do that for? We probably don't realize
how much,
much we think in a negative thought pattern. A heart of gratitude. It would change a whole lot in all circumstances. Say all.
All.
Come on, it's the word of God, right?
Right.
Yep.
Give thanks, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus in you.
Yes.
So when the government starts to ask you things maybe you don't want to do, so you think you should have a little bit more of a heart of gratitude. Or was the church really murmuring, complaining a lot more than what it should? Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
I used to say this through my congregation over a period of time. I said, COVID's not my problem. I say, people are.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, the rhetoric and the issues and the things that was going on. And you want to know what the fruit of? Division in the church. Hello, folks. Should have been like, okay, we get it. Anyone following me here a little bit?
Yes.
Yep. A little story. How many have heard this story, Luke chapter 17, about 10 lepers? And I like reading that. I want to move along quickly on this, but there were 10 lepers, right? And you know, the significance of this story, you ready? Preach as fast as Indonesia. Ready? Here we go. The significance of this story was about, you know, for centuries, there was always a time where leper colonies were formed. And if anyone contracted leprosy, they would have to go to the priest. And the priest was the one who deemed them as unclean. And so then they were had to live outside in their own colonies and were not supposed to intermingle with the rest of the people, right? They were deemed as unclean. But there was, and I won't go through all that, but in the Old Testament, there is an actual law that what the priests are supposed to do in order to deem someone who is clean.
Right.
But can you imagine, did you hear anything about that for the time in Leviticus and when all the law was written? Was there anyone that was deemed as clean? They, you know, all they did for centuries is say, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean.
Yeah.
And one day these 10 lepers come, and all 10 lepers get healed by Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. But we know the story. They all ran, which they were supposed to the priest, so the priest could look at them and deem them as being clean.
Yes.
I can just imagine when they all showed up, I mean, you know, the synagogues, and you know, all these lepers come in, and they're like, hey, Reuben, have you ever seen this? No, Tamabas, I've never seen this before. What am I supposed to do? I don't know, but somewhere in the archives, and they're digging through all the manuscripts, and finally they roll it out, and go, ah, here it is. And never done it before.
Oh, yeah.
And deem them as clean. Now, the point of the story is, they were supposed to do that. But there was one. When he had found Jesus, he ran back. And he fell down at his feet. And he thanked him. You with me? Over and over and over and over, he thanked the Lord, saying to him, you are the Messiah. Hello? Never has this happened before. I am clean. Hallelujah. I am clean. Hallelujah. It never was ever known in the history until then. Beloved, I want to tell you. You want to talk about all the rhetoric? I'll tell you, there's only been one reset. One great reset. The world looked towards his death. And now we look the other way.
Yeah.
Everything pointed to Christ in his death. He was the great reset.
That's right.
Up to that point, once he died, everything has become new and changed.
Amen.
That was a great reset. And they were recognizing it at that time. It had never, ever been known. But only one
came back.
Yeah.
Amen.
To give thanks.
Amen.
Perhaps that's a picture of the church today.
Oh.
Where we lack gratitude.
Yes. Yeah.
When people are grumbling, they will miss their destiny. Because
mm-hmm.
With that heart of gratitude, he came back to where he was to be.
That's right.
Yes.
With Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
And I want you to know, he was loosed.
That's right.
Amen?
That's
and
amen.
Unleashed
yes.
to do the things that he was meant to do.
Yes.
And everyone said, that sounds awesome.
Yes.
That sounds like our God. That's what God is saying today. Will you have a heart of gratitude? How many know that that paves the way for the Holy Spirit
Amen.
In our life
yes.
more than we could ever think
yes.
of? The second thing I want to talk about is trust. And we heard this. And it's true. You need to trust. How many know, well, I'm a charismatic, born-again believer, you know, and I'm going to walk by faith. Hey, I'm getting it. Y'all, I'm going to walk by faith.
Good preaching.
Yeah, I'm speaking your language all of a sudden.
Yes.
Whoa, that must be annoying. Okay, so you've got this idea that we're going to walk by faith. How many know that, you know, we were just with James. James is really the rubber hits the road. You know, here. I try to avoid idioms. I'm not doing a good job today. James really put it to point blank. You want faith? Show me your works.
Yeah.
Disciples, you're doers. Disciples live the word of God in their lives.
Yes.
That's how the world knows we are his
yes.
disciples, by our love that we show to one another.
Yes.
That itself is a topic. Oh, how we need to love one another.
Yes.
But the basis of your, you will never have faith if you do not trust.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right, yes.
We don't talk about trust too much. We talk about faith all the time. But faith is never really in action because we don't trust. Trust what?
Come
the
on.
Word.
Yes.
And the word that comes to us is a word often about correction. And oh, we don't want to receive correction. Because, you know, I left home, I left my mom and my dad, and I did it my way.
That was great.
Yeah, we need to know what trust is. You know, since I'm from Canada, I'm going to tell you about what God really wants you to do in order to trust, because you need to, you know, let your own self. How many know we got to die to self?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was said last night. And that's what we mean by less of me. So what we say is that we have to, Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? You want to do it? Then he says, whoever wishes to come after me must what? Deny himself?
Yes.
Say, deny yourself?
Deny myself.
Oh, you don't really mean that? Deny yourself?
Deny myself.
It's a hard thing to do. I tell you right now, you can all say it really nice and easy with me, but I come around the next week, as Bishop said, you will be tested.
Yeah.
When God, you're launching yourself in your destiny, there will things that will come up.
Yep.
You think discipleship is easy?
No.
Well, I bet you just scared everyone online. Who is this? I don't want to listen. Discipleship's hard, everybody. This is a hard life.
You gotta love.
But come on, it's the truth. You must deny yourself and pick up your cross. And if you're from Canada, you're looking at it and say, I can identify with that. There's a lonely road in the middle of winter. Oh, man, that looks bitterly cold. What a place to carry your cross.
Yeah.
Well, come on, huh? Come on back up with me. That's what it looks like right now. Well, I'm enjoying your weather. Thank you, Lord, for Florida.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. The ministry calling for convocation in Florida. Everyone back home, I'm sorry. But the calling is true. We have to deny ourselves.
Yes.
Less of me, more of him. And the only way you'll do that, if you trust him. If you love me, you obey my commandments. I often thought about that. I used to have this thing. You know, you want to know how much you love him? Well, it's weighed by the amount of your obedience. That's the scale. Mm-hmm. more you obey him, then the greater your love is. If you obey him this much, that's how much you love him. You obey him this much, that's how much you love him. Hello, it's the truth. If you love him, you will obey him. We will do his word. We'll allow the word. How many know the word of God is effective?
Yes.
And does a great work?
Yes.
How many know grace works mightily? The Bible says it works mightily in us. I think let's talk about what true grace is. It's called Jesus Christ. It says sin is no longer your master, but grace is. It's your master. Say with me, it's my master.
It's my master.
It's not a free ticket to do as you want. That's what gets us in trouble, church. That's where the thinking is wrong. If it does not line up to the word of God, you're in trouble. And if you're really not quite sure what that word of God is, then get in with a multitude of counselors. Come on. Let us really know what true love is looking like. Hey, here's a little something. Okay, let's stop being serious. Hey, here's a couple in bed. Don't you go like all those dogs? Says, hey, look, honey, she's got the book. Look, honey, there's a beautiful little puppy here that needs another home. Oh. Now, why am I showing you this? Well, instead of the wife, that was me. Now, we have a few dogs. One's mine, a little sheep poo. Didn't bring a picture of him. And my other is my four generations, we lived together for 27 years. My great-grandmother passed away just a year ago. But my mother still, and she has a golden retriever. But I've always desired to have a large dog.
Oh.
One day, 6 months ago, I saw on Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah, on Facebook. But it was about our local, what do you call it, like, not Humane Society, but animal shelter. The community animal shelter. And here was this gorgeous blonde shepherd, husky mix, look more shepherd. I said, that's a beautiful animal. Guess what thought came into my head? You should call and find out he's available. An animal like that, gone, don't even consider it. So next morning, hi, do you still have? Yes, sir, we do. Oh. What do you have to do in order to come to look for adopting? Well, you got animals. Yeah, we got animals. So bring the animals over. We'll make a. So we made an appointment. Of course, my mother saw me filling out this adoption form.
Oh, no.
She said, "What are you doing that for?" She loves animals. My father, another thing, a little bit. And my wife, you know, oh, praise God, she loves me. She gave me permission. Anyways, meet Kai, a year and a half German Shepherd, husky. They're called Shepskis. Now he's the full size of a German Shepherd, and we are learning to love him. But I need to give you a little story of my adventure with Kai. Well, we brought Kai home. And Kai is in his happy place. He loves to play. He loves to run. And on the fourth day we had a big party, a big birthday party. There was a lot of company over, kids running all the place. He was in his glory. He was running and having a great time. But it was a hot July day. And I thought, you know, we're all going to sit down. I'm going to bring him in. And I'm going to kind of like think, you know, be a good dog owner here. That this dog needs a break. And I put him on a leash. And I thought, you lay here, bud, and we call it a short leash. Okay. Well, Kai didn't know he was on a short leash. And Kai all of a sudden decided he was going to take off and run again and play. And he did. He got up and he went to run, and the leash pulled on him. And I suffered the most severest pain I've ever felt. I got bit.
Oh, no.
I have the scars.
Wow. Sure.
Never been bit by a dog. And I don't wish it upon anyone.
Yes.
The next morning, when I woke up, and my arm was swollen, and I thought, will my fingers move? Bend, please. Oh, Lord. Of course, you can imagine what came in my mind. Honeymoon period was over, day four. What have I done? I know it's a rescue. I knew, I should have known, God, that you know you inherit the good qualities and the bad qualities. On my unknown, I know why he was given up. It's because they never did any training. And so he always got his way. I did it my way. And as soon as he experienced for the first time where someone wanted to get a little bit of control, well, he chose some aggression. Yeah, we would say he acted out, but let's just say, in a very, very bad form. Now, the thoughts that you can imagine went through my head that morning when I woke up and I was feeling the pain and I was saying, well, God, what have I done? And I know for a lot of people right then and there, they would say, he's going right back where he came from. And I wouldn't blame anyone for that. And that's what went through my mind. Lord, help. And I heard him say, do you think it really was the dog's fault? Huh? Where'd that come from? Of course it was. I'm not the best dog owner. It's a new experience for me. There's probably some things that could have been done differently, but it doesn't negate what the animal did. What came in my heart was, I adopted him, and I'm not going to give up.
Amen.
I dug in my heels, and I said to my wife, let's give it some time. I learned my lesson. Now, what am I going to do in order to help? Because if he doesn't get changed, we know the outcome of his life. Yeah. You know, sometimes God often looks at us the same way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're so glad that in your sin, in your faults, in your rebellion, and your aggressiveness towards him, he loved you.
Yes.
All of a sudden, I was saying, God, don't do this to me. You're saying, it's an animal. Love him.
Yeah.
You mean unconditionally?
Yeah.
Right now, I want to strangle him. I healed. We've grown together. We've learned some stuff along the way. And so how it came was to start to be consistent in training.
Yes.
Now, he's got his harness on there, and he's got the Canadian flag. We've got a great Canadian dog, amen. And it says on the other side, he's got, on guard we stand for thee, that's O Canada. Of course, it's got the cross. What's that all for? It's for me to remember, God, help me to have patience. And I put on there in training. Everyone goes, well, what is he training for? For me to learn what to do with him. Anyways, to make the story short, yes, there was some tough love. No kidding, some tough stuff. And I want you to know there were some things that I learned to do with him. But eventually now, I can go anywhere with him beside me. And he wants to come on the leash.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have him go out with me, and he will remain in the vehicle when I open the door.
Praise God.
Boy, I had a problem the first time. Kai, Kai, come here. By the way, I have a tracker. Right now I can tell you where he is because of that. But I am so grateful I don't have to use it very often now. I'm serious, I have a tracker. I can tell you where he is right now. But through our training was about consistency.
Thank you, Jesus, yes.
What was the first thing that had to happen? He had to trust me.
Yeah.
I had to gain his trust. And I had to learn how to do that. To allow him that he would trust me. And as he got more familiar and he learned that through also obedience came also reward. I mean, no, he didn't like it at the beginning.
Right.
But now, I can let him off leash, and he stays within the perimeter of my voice.
Amen.
Now we go on hikes, we go out, and we're best friends. No, he's not perfect yet. We're getting there. Did you hear me? We're getting there. It's progress. But you know, God's been reminding me through this whole journey about my relationship with him.
Yes.
When Ted just wants to do whatever Ted wants to do, God's going, that ain't going to work, and it's not going to function very well. I think we're kind of hearing that. You know, we're really not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. He really isn't unleashed. But what I'm saying is God sometimes needs to put a leash on us.
Yes.
Because he needs to pull us in a little bit.
Yeah.
Called discipline. He allows things in our life, and it won't be easy, but in the end, what is it? In the end, it's about us trusting and learning who he is.
Yes.
So he can release.
Yes.
He can release.
Yes.
Let go.
Yes.
And let us. And we are going to remain within our listening distance of our master's voice. And we're going to hear him. And we're going to obey him. And we're going to have a trusting relationship. Hallelujah. The best times that I have with God is when he comes up and he puts his head on my shoulder and we just lay together. That's called progress.
Yes.
Hello, people of God. We're to be disciples and we need to show progress. Faith in action. But if you're feeling sometimes a little bit of restraint, don't be like Paul and say, what are you doing, God? Holy Spirit, you know, Paul, why are you kicking so hard, Paul?
Yeah. Yep.
God had to blind him.
Yeah.
Ooh, for a little while. So that he could gain what?
Trust.
God's perspective.
Yeah.
Which is trust. Say with me, God's perspective.
God's perspective.
One last little thing. Are all still with me?
Yes.
I know. Hey, you're doing good. Not too many of you are falling asleep. Praise God. Forgiveness.
Amen.
Forgiveness is another area. How many know that we really need to see how much Jesus has forgiven us?
Amen.
We really know the scripture verse where Jesus says that if we have, what? When you pray, Matthew 6:14, make sure you forgive the faults of the others so that your Father in heaven can also forgive
you.
Amen. Amen. I mean, forgiveness will go a long way in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, we say we forgive. I forgive. I have found through counseling, 90% of the time, people will say, I forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
But you find down the road, they can't look that person in the face.
No.
I didn't actually find out they still, it went from very easily said, but actually becoming the opposite, the reality. I mean, know that forgiveness is a greater definition than just saying, I forgive you.
Yes,
right.
True.
The true definition of forgiveness goes to a step called to forgive, to reconcile. How many heard the term reconciliation? He has reconciled us to the Father. He loved us, and he has allowed us to have a relationship with the Father. He has reconciled us to the Father. How many know that through the steps, the Bible even says, if you have odd with your brother, you got to go make it right.
Yeah.
I know there are all kinds of circumstances. We can be here forever in another three-day lesson. But it basically comes around, whatever that needs to be done. If you wrong somebody and maybe words, then correct it. If it was done publicly, correct it publicly.
Yes, yes.
If you broke it, fix it.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It depends on the situation. But there has to be reconciliating. It has to be there. And the last one, which is very seldom. Where's my shield? Restoration.
Yes.
Well, I can forgive them, never want to see their face.
Oh.
Or I can forgive them, and maybe there can be some reconciliation, especially if it's the other person who owes you something. But I can never, ever serve with them again. Doesn't sound like the gospel I know.
Yeah.
But we live our lives out like that. Even Christians. Well, I can forgive, but God doesn't expect me to ever love that person.
Yes.
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
Be real! Yeah. We can say with our lips, but how our emotions feel?
Yes.
Let me just tell you a little story, and I'll be finishing soon. I mean, if you're a minister, it doesn't take very long that you're going to be like betrayed, or someone do or slander you. Christians, that's another thing through the last group of several years.
Yeah.
Put away all slander.
Mm-hmm.
Put away the stuff on the end. Unless you have a personal relationship with the person that they're talking about, do not say a single thing. And I'm talking about even people in the political arena. You should not.
Yes.
Unless you know factual through relationship. Because otherwise, you're slandering.
Yes.
And the scripture says we're not to do that.
Amen.
I tell you, God's heart's been grieved over the last several years.
Yes.
The things that I saw.
Yes.
One thing the Holy Spirit said to me, and it was like, do you not ever post any third party stuff? And you want to know, I did absolutely nothing over the last several years. Because the reality is, I really don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Trust me, when someone does it to you, you understand.
Yes.
When someone goes around and speaks lies, and you know it's a lie, but the other person doesn't, it hurts.
Yes.
Anyways, the last little while, I had a relationship with a gentleman. He'd been helping me on a lot of projects. And I was going along with him, and as we've actually gone through these several years about all this stuff too, all the rhetoric that's been going on, we've shared and talked, and we've had some things that other people have done that he was indirectly affected by it as well. We walked through it together. He sat at my table. We ate together. You know, sometimes I'm not always a very open person. It takes a little while. But once I'm committed, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened my heart up to this gentleman. And having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And just out of the blue, one day, he did something, gave a letter, and I don't have to go into the content of it. And he gave the letter to other people, explaining something about me. Of course, everyone that read it was like, what's wrong with so-and-so and Pastor Ted? They didn't get his point about me. They were just wondering, what has happened? Hey, right? But he didn't see that. And the nature of the letter was very hurtful. Not so much the content, just the nature of it was very hurtful. Well, you know, I go, huh? I was surprised. And then I'm like, how could he do that? And then it's like, it's not right. And by the way, just the nature of the whole thing is wrong. And I thought, I'm going to have to forgive him. Like my lips, they were saying one thing, but my heart was never wrong. By day three, going, it'll be okay till I'll never trust him again. He won't sit at my table. Now, I didn't say that to anyone, but about day four, I came to the realization, you've gone from hurt, bitterness, that you're becoming angry.
Yep.
My emotions.
Yes.
So I sat down and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I just opened up my heart and wrote a letter. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, we opened our hearts to you. And when he was talking about all the difficulties and all the circumstances, Paul commended them. He says, will you open your hearts? Yeah. That's what he said to the Corinthian church. Will you open your hearts? Beloved, I'm telling you today, will you open your hearts? I had to open my heart and say the same way that God wanted me to love that shepherd dog and taught me how he loves me, I need to love him. He has wronged me, but will I love on him? Will I sacrifice what I feel and what I believe and do what is the right thing and say, brother, all I want is us to be restored. And if I have done anything that has offended you and hurt you, will you forgive me?
Amen.
In all honesty, when you really haven't done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But you'll find so many people want to sit as the judge. And what's going on in their minds obscures their vision. We need to see right in order to receive what God has for us.
That's right.
And that's why I said one day we'll be judged. Can we see correctly?
Amen.
One day we may need to extend mercy when you're walking. Maybe you're here. Maybe you've had a trouble with a relationship. Get it restored. It's causing a restraint on your life. You don't realize, we don't realize the things that are restraining us. We really don't. Church, if we get freed up, I tell you, we will change the world. We will turn it upside down. Things will be different.
Yes.
So get real with yourself.
Right.
Get to the truth.
Amen.
And let us see the change. Amen.
Amen.
I have this video clip. At the very end, it's off of YouTube. I often don't do this. This particular dog you're going to see is called a Belgian Malinois. A Malinois. They're a high energetic dog. It likes to be a work dog. And they can be trained easily. And they can do some awesome feats. So when you see this, no, it's not my dog. Okay. I wish I could say that. But a dog who is trained can do incredible things.
That's right.
People, when we go through the training of the Lord,
yes, amen,
we can do some awesome things for the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I hope you've all enjoyed this principle with me.
Yes.
Now let's just watch this video. I don't know, brother, do you have to do it from your end? I should be able to do it from here. See the trust he has, free fall right into his master's arms. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
Woo, when I saw that, I thought, how high he jumped to do a backflip and free fall. That's trust on that animal. But it took a lot of training. But through the trust and the training, that animal has done something incredible.
Amen.
We're the same with God. When he's going to put us through training, we're going to see some incredible things. Amen?
Amen.
Last, coming to the very end. I've mentioned this already, how God wants us to be his disciples. As God is working on this inside, I remember I said it's all about the inside. So as disciples, we are to show the heart, say the heart, of the Father.
Amen.
To the world.
That's right. Yes.
Is that your heart's desire?
Yes.
You know, when we were in, I was in Bible school, I won't say how long ago, but we would get up to the podium and they had us sign their sirs that they would see Jesus. I mean, you are the representative, you're the ambassador for the Lord, you're speaking for the Lord. It should be his words and his words alone.
Amen.
And what they should observe is what Jesus would say and do. As you leave the podium, how many know the world is our podium?
Yeah.
The world is watching us, and the world needs to know the heart of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Let me pray. pray with me. Father, I thank you for this time that we have shared together today.
Yes,
Lord. In this late afternoon, I thank you, Father, for the hearts of these individuals that have given their time, Lord. And I pray, Father, that everything that has been mentioned about how you desire to love on us, which means that you will chastise us or discipline us, as we say, Lord, in order to bring us into what you desire of us, and it's your character, your mind, your will, and that our emotions would align up with your emotions, Lord God. Because, Father, we desire to do what you will have us to do in this world. And we know, Lord, that the mission is great and the mandate is huge, because there is a world where the harvest is ripe and the hearts up there need to see and know the heart of you, Jesus. And so, Father, I pray today, the Lord, that the word would pierce our hearts and that your word would, Father, allow us to see with eyes that knows what the kingdom of God looks like, that we will say, aha, I know where to let go, because God, you're in control. You want me to go here and you want me to do this, because God, we're in sync together, heart with heart. Mind with mind, will with will. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, may you bless your word to our hearts. Holy Spirit, water and everything. And we look forward to even tonight, Lord God. We just are full of thanksgiving. And Father, we thank you so much for your rich word to us this day. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody says,
amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Praise God. It's been a pleasure. Just okay, I guess you're kind of like release. I'm not going to hold you back. You're unleashed to go. I'm sure that spend a little bit of time for tonight, and we're looking forward to Brother Alan Caron with us. Amen. Blessings in Jesus' name.